Welcome back to another exciting edition of the SB Nation Houston podcast. With me, as always, on a rainy day here in Houston, something that is apart from the norm for sure, is Dylan Gwynn.
I was going to say, don't try to put that on me. I didn't bring the rain.
You come in the room, all of a sudden it's dark outside, I see lightning. Hopefully this isn't a sign of things to come on Sunday when your Houston Texans, mine as well, I guess,
are headed
to Jacksonville, headed to the East to take on the... Would you say the offensively challenged Jacksonville Jaguars?
I would. They're my Texans when they win. They're your Texans when they lose. I'll go the reverse
on that, but whatever.
I feel like this is not a harbinger of things to come. I don't really believe that. I think the Texans, I mean, look, this is a team that lost to, talking about Jacksonville here, this is a team that lost to Cleveland last week.
Yeah, so, I know a lot of fans, and I was actually watching that game, well, not that game in particular, but I was at Buffalo Wild Wings with one of my really good friends, and we were watching all the games. And both of us, while we thought, you know, Texans, you know, should beat Jacksonville, there was a little bit of a fear of the unknown, I guess, with Matt Leinart. But after seeing what they did against Cleveland, we're like, okay, well,
I mean, that's all they can do.
No,
I mean, should and will are two different things. I mean, they should win. I mean, but you go back to the game they played here at Reliant. A few weeks ago, I mean, Matt Schaub was not good in that game. He wasn't exceptional. He had a turnover, you know, on his own side of the field that left Jacksonville.
Yeah, the fumble that the entire Jaguars defense touched at one point.
Right, exactly.
That lateral play. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's not like Matt Schaub was mistake-free against the Jaguars either. You know, Matt Leinart can make a mistake here or there, and the Texans have shown that they can overcome that as a team and still win. I mean, doing it on the road is a little bit of a taller order, but at the same time, they're a team coming off a bye week.
Outside of Leinart, has been, would you say, a road warrior team? I mean, look at the wins they've had on the road recently.
Had a lot of really...
I mean, Tennessee and Tampa, I mean, they're just blown teams
out.
Yeah,
now two of their three losses are also on the road. And you have to factor that in.
Baltimore's a much better team than, obviously, Jacksonville.
Well, I don't know. Jacksonville beat Baltimore, so hey.
Well...
Head to head.
Any given Sunday.
I'm just saying it's a game they should win. I mean, the one that I'm not looking past Jacksonville because I don't think with Matt Leinart at quarterback you can look past anybody. But I'm a little bit more concerned about the Atlanta game than I am.
Of course,
necessarily
with Atlanta you face a team because you know we've talked about what the Texans can do with Leinart. It's you know winning it with the run game, winning it with the defense. But when you face the Falcons, I mean, you got obviously Matt Ryan. He's had, you know, a little bit of a down year as compared to previous seasons. But they've got Michael Turner. They've got, you know, hopefully for them a healthy Julio Jones, a Roddy White, guys that can stretch the field. I mean, obviously, Tony Gonzalez is still playing at a high level. So that is a team that, is, while as your defense is playing, could still give you problems as far as not being able to outscore them. Now, Jacksonville, on the other hand, Blaine Gabbert. I mean, we talked about Tim Tebow and his inaccuracy, but 48% completion percentage right now from Blaine Gabbert, averaging, I don't even know.
Yeah, at least Tebow can run.
I think he's under 200 yards. Yeah, under 200 yards.
What does Gabbert do?
Passing.
I mean, you know, Gabbert's terrible and can't run. I mean, I'd rather get stuck with Tebow, honestly, than get stuck with Gabbert at this point.
On offense right now, you want to take a guess where they're ranked in passing yards?
32nd.
32nd, yeah. That's exactly right.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So, yeah, that's a team that you should be able to hold to, 10 points I think would almost be a disappointment. Obviously, you have to worry about Maurice Jones-Drew, but even in their last game, I believe Jones-Drew was held to around 60, 70 yards. Mm-hmm. It's a team that you should be able to beat even if Leinart has a mistake or two.
Exactly right. I mean, they're not. I just don't think they're physically capable of scoring enough points to win this game.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Is Leinart going to be perfect? No. Will the offense look like it had in previous weeks? You know, probably not. Even with Andre coming back, the Jaguars just don't have an offense. I mean, if the Texans get to 17, the game's over.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
Now, going to the other side of the ball. We got kind of a surprise announcement yesterday that Daniel Manning has returned to the practice field. Whether or not he plays is still up in the air. It sounds like it'll be a game-time decision. But this is way ahead of schedule. That's got to be – I mean, for a season that's been marred by such bad luck with injuries, that's got to be a very encouraging thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy who was supposed to, you know
– I mean, less than a month ago, he broke his leg.
Exactly. I mean, he's had a miraculous recovery, and here he is in practice. I would still hold him out this week.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I would want to see him 2 weeks of moving around in the field, you know.
But if he could come back for Atlanta, that'd be a huge help.
Well, absolutely.
With those receivers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you really, and that's the point. I mean, you would really want to have him back for the Atlanta game than you would in this game. I mean, not you always want to put your best foot forward, but it's still a little fluky that he recovered this quickly. I wouldn't put him out there until Atlanta.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I saw that headline. I almost, you know, did kind of a double take. I'm like, it's just, it seemed odd that he'd be able to recover.
He's his twin brother, Daniel Manning.
The less talented of the Manning brothers. All right, so it sounds like we both think they should win this game. You want to venture a prediction in the score?
I will venture a, let's see, 24-10.
24-10? I was going to say 20-10, so I think we're right there in agreement. So that would move the Texans to 8-3. What kind of chance would you give them, obviously with teams like the Steelers and the Patriots having also easy schedules, what type of chance do you give them at a first-round bye?
Oh, zero. I think they're going to get the three seed. I don't think they're going to have a first-round bye. I mean, you look at the Steelers' schedule, they're only going to lose one more game for the rest of the year, and that's at San Francisco. They're going to end up 12-4. I don't think the Texans' tiebreaker will end up mattering.
Right.
The Patriots' schedule is gravy going down the stretch, and they appear to be playing better right now, turning it up a notch offensively and defensively. So I would say at this point the Texans are probably going to get the three seed, and then, you know, that's okay. I mean, that's fine. They're not. I do not foresee them getting the first round bye, though.
No, I would probably have to agree with you there. Looking ahead, I did this on the blog last week, KTH.com, hitting the run. But not to get a shameless plug in.
It's not shameless when it's your
show.
Yeah,
it's
your
show.
Come show. On. Wait.
The Hit and Run blog. Visit it before the
I
Mighty
got no
blog.
Shame?
The Mighty blog. Whatever. Looking ahead at potential playoff matchups, because I think we both agree they will make the playoffs despite what Mike Florio seems to want to.
Oh, jeez.
Let's get into that for a second. I mean, for last week, you know, Mike Florio says very heatedly, seems very convinced that they should sign Brett Favre.
Which leads you only to the conclusion that Mike Florio wants the Texans to crash and burn in failure.
Well, I mean, it doesn't work for me in any level. One, he's over 40. He hasn't played in years, so we don't know what he's capable of doing.
And he wasn't that good in his last year.
He wasn't that good in his last year. He doesn't know the system. It's not a system.
It's not the Minnesota system that he
run. I mean, Minnesota at least initially worked out so well because it's the same system that he'd ran previously. But the offense is completely different. He's over 40, hasn't played well recently. And why would you want a guy that, love him or hate him, seeks that sort of attention and could possibly divide a locker room on a potential playoff team?
No, and this team's never had a personality anywhere near what Brett Favre is. If he were to come here, this place would turn into a circus overnight. And honestly, even putting that aside, because I would put that aside if it meant more wins. But I honestly don't think it means wins.
Right.
I mean, he's going to come here. He's going to go 4-2 down the stretch, pretty much the same thing you could have gotten with Matt Leinart. And look at him in the playoffs over the last few times he's been there. The guy is not clutch in the playoffs.
No.
He's not. I mean,
at least not in the last decade.
You're not guaranteed of it, or you don't even have a strong likelihood of getting anything more than you would have gotten with either Matt Leinart or a re-healed Matt Schaub. So,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like... I feel like it makes no sense on so many levels, and it's just being put out there, you know, to stir up, you know, the excrement storm.
I don't get Florio's side on this. I respect his work a lot. I visit Pro Football Talk just about every day, but his stance on this was
his
a bit
side
crazy.
Is to stir it up. I mean,
yeah,
that's
I
it. I'm not going to take you seriously when I know as a media guy, and I know this because I've done it too. But at the same time,
I'm going to have a confession
within bounds, within reason. I mean, you can't just throw out, you know, crap, and that's what was going
Maybe
on.
Maybe you should
here.
Report that the Texans are going to sign Rodney Harrison if Daniel Manning doesn't come back in time. I mean,
like this whole Kurt Warner thing too.
You
hear that one? They're talking about Kurt Warner. That guy's been, you know,
he's been retired longer than Favre has.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous.
Crazy. All right, now back to the potential playoff matchups. We had talked about last week, considering the fact that we still think they're going to make the playoffs, could they advance? And I just, for my own self-satisfaction, I just kind of thought about who they might face and how they would match up. tell me if I've put on the battle red glasses here. But amongst the potential playoff teams as a 3-6 matchup, I think the Bengals are the most likely just because they've got some tiebreaker scenarios and are almost locked to get to at least 9 wins. But after that, you've got the Jets. You've got the, the Bills, but probably not the Bills anymore. Same thing with the Titans. Titans are probably thrown out. But you also then have the surging Broncos. Now, among those teams, you're talking about Broncos, Jets, Bills, Titans, Bengals. Tell me if I've got on the battle red glasses here, but I had them in my very early prediction beating every one of those teams.
I mean, I would favor them against any one of those teams.
Well, that's
teams.
What I mean. I would favor them in every one of those matches.
The only ones that would, scare me a little bit, I mean, the Bengals are really good.
With no Leon Hall now.
Well, no Leon Hall, but they almost beat the Ravens this past weekend without A.J. Green.
True.
And you have to factor that in, too, and that was in Baltimore. So, I mean, something the Texans weren't able to pull off. So, I mean, I feel like they would be a significant opponent. So, everybody there would be significant, I think. But, I mean, the Bengals would be the only ones that would really scare me a little bit. But besides that, I mean, no, I totally agree with you. Among that group and the Jets, I don't think this is the same old Jets.
When they took the playoff spot from the Texans back in 2009 when they both finished 9-7, that team, the famous ground and pound. They were first in the league in rushing the ball. They were first in the league in rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like 17th in rush defense and almost, dead near the end of the pack.
And Mark Sanchez is not any better.
No, he's regressed.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's not the same Jets team. I mean, at this point, do you think it's the Bengals that get that sixth spot?
If I had to choose right now, but I'm hoping it's the Titans. Just because I would really love the Texans to be able to...
The storylines would be outstanding.
For the first team in Houston to make the playoffs in the NFL in 18 years to beat the last organization that went to the playoffs.
Yeah, I was yet a young lad when that happened.
I mean, I just think that would be a storyline that would be awesome. So, I mean, I'm pulling for that. But I mean,
Most likely the Bengals. So we'll get a playoff matchup preview here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most significant game remaining on the Texans' schedule.
Moving off of NFL football to college football, which to a game in particular that I will be paying close attention to on Thursday night, the annual, Texas Longhorns versus Texas A&M Aggies Thanksgiving game that looks like, because of what Texas has scheduled for their non-conference through 2017, will be at least the last game until 2018. So, I mean, these two teams, Texas 6-4, the Aggies are 6-5. A lot of the luster that is usually attached to this game is not there this year, but it's certainly a game that I think fans on both sides, considering the circumstances, will be really, really up for.
Well, I mean, see, you say that, I'm not sensing that anybody cares.
Okay, well, maybe I was talking about myself.
One way, okay, you're going to be up for it. And I'm not saying you're going to be alone, but it seems like normally on the Tuesday before this annual Thursday game, there's a lot more, vim and vigor out there than there is right now. I just don't sense it at all. And honestly, with both teams being bad, okay, you could look at it and say, well, then why would they be up for it? Both teams are bad. Well, I mean, but that means there's something to play for. They're both have essentially the same record. You could also argue that this is a game that is maybe the most meaningful on either team's remaining schedule because, it's a rivalry game. It'll be the last time they play for 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to cut you off there, but look at it from both sides. You talked about, and I mentioned as well, it not having the same lusters because the teams are 6-5 and 6-4. But I think you mentioned a good point there briefly. For that reason, maybe it's even more important. Well, I mean, not more important. There's not a national title game on the line like there was several years ago with Texas. But, I mean, Texas, got off to the 6-2 start, started running the ball on everybody, certainly had hopes of probably, a much better bowl game than they're going to end up in. They certainly want to, improve upon what they've done, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And the Aggies are another team, obviously, really probably too high of expectations going into the season, now staring 6-6 in the face. I mean, in their mind, they have to avoid that. This is a huge game.
No, I think it's big. I think it'll be really sad, though, if it goes out with a whimper. that, you know,
just a bad game, you mean?
Well, not just a bad game, but this rivalry has gone on for over 100 years.
Yeah.
It may never happen. It may never happen again. And, I mean, honestly, it'll be at least 7 years until they play again. It may never happen again. I mean, this rivalry has defined these two schools. I mean, Bevo comes from, you know, them turning around the numbers 13-0, on the 13-0 game. And then
both teams have the other school's name in their fight song.
Yeah. I mean, that goes away with nothing. I mean, that sounds kind of sad. I mean,
I think a lot of the last, and I was caught up in this as well, so I won't exclude myself, but a lot of the last couple months from both sides was spent, you know, justifying the separation, saying, you know, we don't need you. Longhorns, including myself, saying, well, you know, you guys left. It's on you that, you know, that the game is not continuing. The Aggies, you know, thrown out, you know, that they're better off and they want to get away from the Longhorn network. But I think at the time of the game, maybe some reality will sneak in. And like you said, it could be a very sad game, at least from fans like myself who, some of my earliest memories as a kid were watching this game.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it's going to be probably 2018, at least until this game gets together again. Looking at the actual game on the field, I think it comes down to something that we've seen as a big problem with the Longhorns in the last couple of games. Basically, they've got nothing out of the quarterbacks. They've had some injuries at running back, and they just cannot move the ball like they had previously in the season. If Malcolm Brown and Joe Bergeron have a really good games, and we're talking probably 250-plus, and the offense doesn't, being the quarterbacks, this is, doesn't turn it over, they have a chance with that defense, but that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of faith to put into some quarterbacks who've just killed them in recent games. So are you thinking an Aggies win?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I think the Aggies are capable of too much offensively for, you know, to not score enough points to win, and I don't think that A&M's defense, although A&M's defense is not great.
Well, the problem with the A&M defense as far as the Texas matchup is concerned is they sacked the quarterback well, which obviously could cause some turnovers. They play decent run defense, not great. They're ranked, they're ranked 15th. That's not as good as the Longhorns, but they're ranked 15th. But it's their pass defense that is so horrible. I mean, they're 113th.
Okay, that's fine. But do the Longhorns have anybody that can torch them through the air?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't have.
Yeah, they can't take advantage of that weakness.
Yeah, although not great, their defense, their weaknesses are not exactly a great matchup.
Something that the Longhorns
for,
can't exploit.
Yeah, so I mean, I still think the Longhorns end up on the short end of the stick, and, you know, I mean, I'm thinking maybe 20-10. I mean, I know that's boring as all hell, but I mean, that's what I see.
Yeah, I think you're going to get, I mean, if you watch the Missouri and K-State games from Texas, I think you're going to get exactly that same sort of game. You're going to get the Texas defense, in large part, dominating the game, but getting put into a few bad positions by turnovers from the offense or simply three and outs, and then having some short fields where they're going to give up field goals. And, yeah, the Aggies will win something like, I don't know, 20-10 from you is a good prediction. I was thinking like 17-9 maybe. But
nine. Throwing a nine in there.
I'm throwing a nine in there. I mean, I want to have faith in the running game, but even though Bergeron and Brown were back last week, neither one looked like they had in previous games. Mostly so with Bergeron. He didn't get nearly as many carries as he did against Texas Tech and Kansas. And even if they are 100%, you got to know that the Aggies defense, I mean, what's to stop them from putting nine guys in the box all day and said, go ahead, Ash, go ahead, McCoy, beat us.
Yeah,
why would they fear him at this
point? Now, Ash can obviously hit something downfield
occasionally. You have way more faith in Ash.
I don't have way more. I just when it comes to hitting stuff down the field, I do think
I'm done with Ash, by the way. I'm going on the record.
But again,
I am completely done with Ash.
Maybe you get burned once, but your offense is good enough that you can make up for that.
Now, we had this conversation quickly before we get off here, but we had this conversation the other day, Ash versus McCoy. As I just stated, I am completely done with Ash. Now, that is not a ringing indictment for McCoy because he is also not a good quarterback, but it is in my opinion, and I know you disagree with this, that at least with McCoy, he's capable of completing the short passes because of his better accuracy and giving you a better chance to pick up the third and threes and keep the chains moving. complement their run game.
Okay,
he's not going to make maybe plays. That, maybe he's that, not his brother.
Okay, but neither one of these guys are good.
No, I just said that.
Okay, that's true. But he can complete a few 5-7 yard
well, that's
plays.
The problem. Ash can't.
Ash can complete stuff down the field.
No,
and McCoy can't. Yes, he can. I mean, come on, you take away that pass interference call. That pass was right on the mark.
No,
the one
to
Marquise
that,
Goodwin
last
week.
The things that killed him, it was early on in the game, and this is the best example I can give you. It was in the second quarter. It was either second or third and short. I think 3 or 4 yards. They call a pass play, and among the pass play is a slant pattern to Goodwin, who was lined up in the slot. Goodwin's wide open. Ash throws it 3-4 yards behind him. Goodwin has to reach behind him. It tips up in the air. K-State intercepts it and gets a free field goal on a drive where they only
gained about five yards. Yes, he turns the ball over, but so does McCoy.
McCoy has zero interceptions this year.
McCoy has fumbled the ball multiple times
this year. He's fumbled
the
ball, but he has zero interceptions. I'm talking about his passing accuracy.
All right, well, I mean, I'm just saying both of them are
both of them.
Both of them
are not good quarterbacks.
It doesn't matter. It's a pointless discussion because the results. It is because the results don't change with either one of them. I'm not convinced that they just don't find ways to lose differently than the other person. I don't think you're winning games with McCoy that you would be losing with Ash. I think they're both bad.
I think you would have won that Missouri game with McCoy in the whole time. I have more faith. I mean, this is
with
offense.
No running backs.
This is an
he
offense.
Had no running backs in that game. That's the game they lost. Fozzie Whitaker lost
I say Missouri. I meant Kansas State.
Oh, okay.
I meant Kansas State. I believe you win the Kansas State game with McCoy in the whole way. Like the play I just talked about, you're not asking – this Texas offense is not asking hardly anything from the quarterbacks. Really, all they're asking is to complete a few short passes just to keep the defense honest, maybe convert, you know, a couple third downs and not turn the ball over. And McCoy has dozens of faults. He's not a good quarterback. He's not the future. But he's not turning the ball over through the air like Ash has. In Ash's 5 starts, 0 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. McCoy doesn't have an interception all year. I just think that McCoy's better accuracy gives you a better chance to complete those slant routes, the short stuff that you need to keep the chains moving. While he's not going to line it up through the air like his brother or any of the other good previous Texas quarterbacks have done, I think he gives you enough to keep the chains moving and win close games with defense and with a running game.
Okay, I mean, maybe we'll get a chance to see that Thursday night.
I hope so.
I don't know.
The Aggies have a good pass rush, so I mean, who knows? Like you said, he has fumbled.
All I'm saying is you're screwed either way. you don't have a quarterback.
Neither one of them are the future. They're both bad quarterbacks.
But do you think they win against the Aggies with McCoy?
I don't know, but I think they would have won that Missouri. I mean, I think they would have won that Kansas State game.
I think they lost the Kansas State game because of horrible officiating.
Well,
and if you take away those 2 calls that went against them, I think they win that game with Ash.
But Ash at least 3 points with that interception on the.
And you would have gotten that back if that pass interference call had been reversed. You would have gotten it back if the kick catch interference had been reversed.
I agree with you. The referees were bad in that game, but I just think, albeit not a lot. McCoy does give you a slightly better chance because he has, I don't think it can be argued at this point, better accuracy than Ash. Now, moving forward, we both, I think, agree that neither one are the future. They're trotting out another Connor as far as guys they've recruited. Connor Brewer out of Arizona, part of another great recruiting class to go along with a couple of 5-star running backs and receivers. We'll see what Mac wants to do. He's getting up there in years. I don't know if he wants to go through a fourth quarterback change in 2 seasons. But if these guys aren't the answer, they might be starting another freshman next year.
Yeah, and that, you know, leads to all kinds of questions about Mac's long-term plans and stuff
and a rumor you heard about Nick Saban.
But the possibility of Nick Saban coming here, and you've got to factor that stuff in. I mean, the one thing you wanted to establish coming out of this year was some stability at the quarterback position.
That has not been
done.
And
that has not happened.
That has not happened.
So, I mean,
we're in a complete agreement there.
I don't know that this year accomplished much, honestly, in terms of
the future. Well, at least you playing in a bowl game.
Well, okay. Yeah, great. But I'm just saying.
Well, off of five and seven.
The biggest thing you wanted to establish this year was the future at the quarterback position. And it's not, and it didn't happen.
No, you've established the future at a lot of other positions, but quarterback, sadly, has not Gosh, I mean, I would say Ash is probably even worse than Gilbert at this point. So you certainly have not established the future there. Dylan, I think that'll do it. Why don't you tell them how to find you?
Find me Monday through Fridays, The Mighty Gwynn Show, 11 o'clock here at Sports Talk 790, always online at sports790.com and the Mighty blog.
Yeah, and Mighty After Dark, we'll be getting some more show dates.
That's right, in December, right, where we're getting extra dates.
Extra dates for Mighty After Dark.
Mad, yes.
All right, he is Dylan Gwynn of Sports Talk 790. You can find him on Twitter at The Mighty Gwynn. I am Brian McDonald, the Hit and Run blog on KTRH.com, and at SackByBMAC on Twitter. We'll talk to you next week.